It's amazing how the God who created everything that is interesting, from plants and animals, bugs, the universe where the Hubble telescope looks, and machines are sent beyond our reach to beam back photographs, how this interesting creator can be boring, and worship of him can be a drudgery that we are forced to endure because we say we have to. I think it's because we misunderstand words and human life. As an example, a young man goes to a cemetery and brings some flowers to the grave of a loved one and bows his head in prayer. And at the side of this grave, an Oriental person comes from China and lays a bowl of rice at the grave of his loved one and bows his head in prayer. And the young American snickers and says to the man, "When do you think your loved one will get up to eat that rice?" And the man turns and looks at the young guy and says, "Probably the same time your loved one gets up to smell those flowers." The goal is not things, but often we use items to represent and symbolize our faith and our affection. And sometimes we can get lost in the details. And so American society has a tendency to confuse stimulation with passion, proximity for intimacy, and entertainment for satisfaction. We are a society that thinks sheer movement means I'm getting the most out of life. Boy, he must be happy. He's in Paris one day, in Morocco the next day, collecting antiques in China the third day. Sometimes we move because we have no purpose nor direction. We run and try all sorts of stimulations because we have no happiness. We think if we are surrounded by people, then intimacy will come our way. When we forget that to understand God and to love your neighbor, you have to be willing to be bored. Because people and God are not created for our entertainment, but for our love. And love waits. Love is patient. Love is kind. How often you have heard that at weddings around the United States. But patience and kindness, the ability to always think the best of someone, the ability not to be entertained, but to see what can I do for that person. In the old days, do you remember that people used to tell, when you're going to school, you're not just studying for yourself, but perhaps for your children that someday you will teach. When you're studying to be a doctor, those drudgery, boring nights when you have to study, you're studying to help someone in the future. When you pray and you live a good and wholesome life, you are not just living it for yourself, but for every person that you will meet. Boredom comes, but boredom without purpose can kill. But boredom with a purpose-driven life, with giving yourself for someone else. So today I will eat healthy. I will exercise. I will read and study. I will pray, not just for myself, but my life is given for others. In one sense, in the spiritual life, there is no such thing as a private life. Everything you do is public, because the next time you speak to someone, have contact with them, are called to serve them, all those quiet, boring moments of effort and conscious thought to live for someone are brought as a gift. And those moments that you thought were insignificant have the deepest purpose, because you lived for love. You worshiped God because you loved Him, not because you had to. So when you are bored, ask yourself the question, have I forgotten for whom I am living, from whom I have sacrificed, and who is that person that God will send my way that I might express the love I have? It could be you, I don't know. But whoever is sent your way, remember, boredom is just a preparation for meeting the exciting people and the God who created everything wonderful and is asking you the question, do you still love me even though I'm not that exciting to you today? And you say in your quiet heart, yes, God, yes, neighbor, I love you, I live for you, and I prepare for those moments when I can express my love for you in a kind word, a kind deed, or even a simple glance. Slava Isusu Hristu!